back as we're sharing deep issues of our heart, and it's not easy. But remember, it's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. And when we understand the love of God and the unconditional acceptance, affirmation, you know, we walk away from rejection. We walk away from the lies of the father of lies, because he is a liar. But there's a true father, our perfect father. And just a reminder of what we've been doing so far. We've been speaking about how big God is in session A, God's heart revealed through us. In session two, God's heart for you and me, what every child needs from their dad, the father wound. We covered three sessions of that, looking at the different aspects of rejection and shame and woundedness, the roots, the fruit. And the idea is not to focus too much on that, because we want to focus on who God is. But in the next two sessions, we are going to deal especially with letting go of your past. So we're dealing with session eight and session nine. In session 9 specifically, we're going to look at forgiveness. And how do I forgive? How is it possible to do that, especially when I'm wounded? But remember, Jesus gave the answer. So I want to just share some ideas, some principles with us before we're going to get practical into forgiveness and the ability to release people from their debt. And so the first thing I want to talk about is to be real, honest, and vulnerable. You know, sometimes we set up through different circumstances in our lives, and sometimes it's just culture, the culture of your personality, who you are, your family background, your nationality, your ethnicity. You know, I come from a group of people where the father and the son normally would not share deep emotional things. There would be a lot of provision, a lot of security, but not affirmation and acceptance. I always knew my father spoke well about me, especially when it came to his friends and sometimes when he would drink a beer or two with them. But he never directly told me that I love you and I'm proud of you. And those are the words every son and every daughter needs to hear so often. And especially when it comes to unconditional love. Not love based on performance or how well you played or how well you did. And so your culture will determine a lot about your ability to be vulnerable. And so being real starts with authentic, facing those issues, facing the challenges in your life, and saying yes to that. So being real means to face the challenges and be honest about what's happening in your life and also what has happened in the past. And so your culture will determine a lot. The second thing, point there is to talk about honesty and vulnerability. You know, we struggle because of trust issues, because of past hurts, because of experiences. You know, I remember I got saved and I shared my heart with one of my best friends, and just deep-rooted issues that I shared with him that I've been struggling with for 10 or 12 years. Things like depression, anxiety, you know, I've never shared it with anybody else. And then this friend laughed at me and just like jokingly just said, no, just pray about it, you know, and he walked away. And I was so offended, you know, I sort of made an inner vow and said, look, yeah, I'm not going to share stuff like that with people anymore. And I realized, you know, later when I spoke to him a year later, it actually took me a whole year to confront him on this issue. Then he said, do you know what? I just didn't know how to handle it. It was just too heavy for me. So I just started laughing and just walked away. And so something like that can be so challenging, you know. I had a best friend, one of my best friends at university, that backslid and just walked away from God completely. And that hurt me terribly, because I couldn't share for a long time with other people, because I thought like, hey, are you going to walk out on me? Are you going to, you know, that's what I thought close friends do. And I didn't understand covenant relationships. Somebody that I mentored for a long time, one day just walked into my office and said, hey, you're fake, you're this, because he believed a lot of slander and other things, and walked out, and it hurt me terribly. So sometimes you even walk with these experiences, and then the third thing that begins to happen because of that lack of being honest and vulnerable and showing your weakness with others, you know, we struggle and we take control. We get offenses, fear, we build walls around us, and then we hinder other people, and especially God, not to come close to us. We just say, look, yeah, I'm not going to go there anymore because I don't want to be wounded anymore. And so we make these deep inner vows and soul connections, and we need to bring it to God. We need to bring the soul ties even that we've been connected with, especially if you've been sexually involved with other people in the past. You need to reject that, because that is only reserved for marriage. And these things all wound us, and we take control of our emotions, and we make these challenging things. And then even sometimes it goes over into manipulation, and it goes into seducing and challenges and rebellion. And we looked at some of those things. So we have to start to be honest. To deal with your past, be honest, be open, be vulnerable. I have a friend, once we were a group of pastors together, and he said, okay, guys, we're coming together. Let's all share our weaknesses. What are you very bad at, you know? And I thought, oh, because normally if pastors get together, they share just the best and how great the church is going. And now it's blessed, brother. You know, we all have all these jargons. And then we started to share issues of our heart. And some guys just started to share deep issues, you know. I feel vulnerable. I feel lonely. And it was probably the best pastors meeting I've ever been at. And we just formed such groups of confident people that were really relying on each other and on God's grace. And so that's why sometimes when you go on a mission trip, you know, you get into people's spaces, and then you have this conflict, confrontation, and you have to open up your heart. You have to learn to be vulnerable. It doesn't come easy, and especially with God. So letting go of your past starts with that. You know, I'm not, for instance, good at confrontation and conflict. I want to run away and just pray about it, and I hope it goes away. I hate confronting people, because naturally I'm a motivator or encourager. I want everybody to be happy, and I want people to like me. That's one of my weaknesses. You know, I'm not good at counseling, where I sit for hours with the same people, listening to their stories over and over again. My screensaver goes on, you know, but I have to be aware of who I am and my personality and my giftings, and not hide away, but also be honest and say, look, yeah, sometimes I just can't do that. That's healthy boundaries, setting healthy physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries. You need a wall around your house, around your life, around your relationships, so that there's trust relationships. But start to be honest with where you're at and what's happening. The second thing is that we need to know that the one who came to set the captives free is Jesus himself. We have to go to him. To let go of your past, it's not just a lot of rituals and things we go through, but Jesus said it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 4. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Verse 3 of Isaiah 61, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. That's what God wants to call you, the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And verse 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Jesus declaring what he's coming to do, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, declare the year of Jubilee. And he says, and then to rebuild, to restore, and to bring back, so that you can be called a tree of righteousness, not a barren person that cannot have relationships, that are just broken down. So once we're real and honest, then we have to bring it to him, the one who's come to set the captives free. And then we have to realize that the promise that he gives us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 21, is that we become new in Christ. The amazing thing is that God doesn't do panel beating jobs. He doesn't just patch up. He restores. He makes new. And that's what he says. Once you are in Christ, you are a new creation. That is what he brings us to. It's the righteousness of God. And you can go and read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 16 to 21. You know, it says that we have been reconciled to God, and therefore, you know, he's become righteousness for us. We are a new creation. And so then God begins to relate to us according to the new creation, not to the old. you know. And yes, there's a challenge between the flesh and the spirit. Sometimes the old habits want to come back, the old ways of thinking, and that needs to be renewed. The way we think, we need to take thoughts captive. We need to speak out life over our lives, you know. Don't speak death. You know, sometimes we make deep vows, and not just with our mouths, but in our hearts, and we need to renounce that. So that's part of coming to this place of forgiveness that we're going to look at in the next session, is we need to break with the things of the past, and we need to realize the promise of being in Christ. What is God's original purpose and plan and destiny and identity for your life? Because that's great. That's awesome. And in the next couple of sessions, we're going to look at specifically at what does it mean to have an identity, and what does it mean to be in Christ. So the fourth thing that we're talking about when we're letting go of our past is you have to come to a perfect and a loving Father. He is perfect in all of His ways. Listen to these scriptures in Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take care of me. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Even if my family walk away, even if all my friends walk away, the Lord will take care of me. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You know, if we try to do it, if we rebel, if we try to be independent of God and others around us, because God has placed families, and if it's not a natural family, it is a spiritual family. He says, in the family, I've placed solitary, I set some things in there for your healing. And that's why you cannot get healing outside of the spiritual family. That's why we're here. That's why we're sharing these things. And that's why I'm encouraging you all the time to connect with other people on WhatsApp groups, in your small group, with an accountability partner. Don't just pray these things alone, because the devil is going to lie to you, you know. But when you come and bring things into the light, you know, into the perfect love of God first, but then with other people, it's a family issue. And we can walk through these issues together. So share it. Ask people to pray for you. Ask people to break that thing over your life as you journey with God. But you can't do it alone, and you're not supposed to do it alone. That's why we have families, and that's why it's in the love of God, where He is our Father, and He's the one that takes care of us. The fifth thing there, you can see in your notes, Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. So we've looked at being real, what is God's promises, but now we need to think like, okay, I need to guard my heart, you know. I need to keep my heart, because the heart, out of the heart flows life or death, and it springs up through our mouths, what we say, the things we speak, you know. Well, how do we relate, and how do, you know, especially in the nation, or maybe in your family, there's a culture of just abuse and verbal abuse and negativity, just death out of the mouth, but it comes out of the heart. And that's why Proverbs says, keep your heart, guard your heart, you know, make sure that your heart is soft. And that's so beautiful about the prophets in the Old Testament, you know. God said, even to Israel, as they were just forsaking Him, walking away, says, hey, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh where you've had a heart of stone. You know, it's so easy to harden our hearts. And so as we move on and we look at letting go of the past, we need to deal with unresolved issues. We've spoken a lot about rejection and shame, but let's just recap a little bit, because when I'm hurt, when I'm wounded, when I've received all these negative things and it's not resolved, these issues in my heart, you'll see there on the slide, it leads to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness leads to taking up an offense. When you take up an offense, it means you fall in a trap of just hardening your heart. And then bitterness and resentment starts to flow out. And some people, you meet them and you realize like, whoa, you know, you're just like a bitter fountain, just like negativity. Because, hey, many times there's a deep root of unforgiveness in our lives, you know. And when we hold on to these hurts, then even anger flows out, open or deep hidden anger. You know, I remember praying for one guy. His father tried to suffocate him, tried to kill him when he was a young boy. And it is just crazy. This guy was just so angry and bitter and against any authority figures. Why? Because the father was supposed to protect him and he didn't. And so out of this came a deep-rooted anger that just, I thought this guy was going to explode when he shared these things with me. So anger and sometimes a low, very low self-esteem, which then eventually leads to an identity crisis. Many people don't know who they are. They're trying to walk in the shadows of other people. They're trying to be like this one or maybe even like a sibling because, hey, maybe that dad chose somebody or another sibling above you. Because now suddenly we don't know who we are. And we start to walk in these shadows and these challenges. And then lots of fear and confusion comes in. And so unforgiveness is where we need to start. And with the offenses, the bitterness, the anger, the low self-esteem that comes in, we will really feel inferior. Because there's a statement here in the bottom of your slide. Hurt out of abuse or neglect leads to a rebellious heart or a victim or slave mentality. So if you got hurt because of abuse, or maybe on the other side, neglect, you know, the absent father or abusive father, you know, then what begins to happen? You either respond in rebellion or just you have a victim mentality. You feel like the world owes you something, you're never good enough, or a slave mentality. You become a slave to a sin. You become a slave to a certain thing in your life, or to a slave to get affirmation or acceptance from other people. And so this identity crisis thing is huge. And let's go to point number 7, because it's so important that we look at these things. And one of the tasks will be to come back to these things, maybe identify certain patterns in our lives and ask the Lord to heal us, to set us free. Because I've mentioned before, I had a deep root of rejection and the fear of rejection. So my first response when I came to other people was I would reject them first. In my mind, I would just say, oh, I don't like you. I don't like you. Or I'd walk into a social gathering and then I would pick up what people, signals people are giving me, and I would feel rejected long before they would even speak to me. Because I think like, oh, there's this guy and look at him, you know, because there was an underlying competitive spirit. I was always competing. I was always competing with others, trying to be better than them, because an identity crisis will cause three things in your life. First, either a superiority complex. You know, I'm always going to be performing to be accepted and to be better than others. Because if I can be the best businessman, if I can be a workaholic, if I can be the best drinker, if I can, I want to be superior, meaning that I'm going to feel better about myself if I can look down at other people, if I can drive something better. And that's why lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, pride is such an ugly thing because it makes you feel superior to other people. You really think you're better because of what you do or what you earn or what you owe or where you've been or who you know. But that's why as Christians, our identity in Christ should be stable, steadfast, because it's His righteousness. It's not earned. We don't earn our life in Christ. And so you can either have a superiority complex or you can have an inferiority complex, meaning that you withdraw to be noticed. You feel very lonely. You feel full of self-pity. You always feel like, why was I dealt this thing? Why did I end up in this family? Why did I? And that's why looking back and thinking about, I'm going to be real about these issues in my life. I'm going to be real about maybe the failures or the breakdowns in my family. But as I'm real, as I become vulnerable about it, I'm not doing it on my own. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and help me, to say, Lord, I'm entering into this place because I don't just need healing, but I need a restoration. And so if you have a superiority or inferiority complex, you know, it leads to great rebellion. Openly aggressive rebellion in action and words, or passive aggression in attitude. And then we become master independent people, independent of God, independent of people around us. And that's why, especially in the West, you know, because we have a shame-based culture, not an honor-based culture, what begins to happen is we just go stronger. I'm going to make it. I'm going to show the world through rebellion, through pride, through aggression. I become so independent because I've become a master to keep people away and keep them at a distance. And we need healing. We need restoration. Our culture needs a lot of healing. and deliverance even, because we grow up in a competitive side, or some people that just completely withdraw. And it means we get robbed of true covenant relationships, true covenant families. And right in the last session, we're going to look at what is the role of a father, what is the role of a mother, what should our roles be, and how does God want to heal us to bring restoration, not just in our lives, but also in the generations to come. Because we need to stop the bus. We need to say, hey, this curse is going to stop you. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. And the Jews believe that cursed is he who hangs on a tree, meaning, hey, not just our forgiveness, but every curse, every family curse is broken. Every soul tie is broken. Because a curse, remember what God wanted to do is God wanted to bless this generation, and then it's passed down, blessing upon blessing upon blessing to the 10th generation. But any principle that works for the positive also works for the negative. What you sow, you will reap. That's a principle. So if I sow to the flesh, I will reap to the flesh. If I sow to the spiritual things, I will reap to the spiritual things. So that's a principle. But so God wanted the generations to bless each other. But sometimes we see depression running down through the generations. Sometimes we see rejection running down through the cultures. And we need to break that curse. That's the amazing thing about Jesus dying on a cross. Soul ties is different. That's when we have an emotional tie to something or someone, even to a school. Because the vows that we make, I belong to you. You know, we vow to those schools. We vow to those friends sometimes. And then we get bound by the emotional ties we make with them. And we should just ask the Lord, Lord, I repent of those things. I break it over myself. I break it over my family line so that I can be free. And that's the good news. Jesus died so that we can be free. And so in session 7, we've looked at a lot of this stuff, the shame-based stuff, and we should start by just honoring each other. Sometimes just, you know, just break out of the cycle and think about your friends and just message them with praising them and thanking them for who they are and acknowledging, hey, even if they're different, their giftings are different, so that that competitive spirit can be removed. So this session, we're going to end off with task number 7. And I know for some of us, it's very difficult, these tasks. But do it over time. It will really help you. We've put it out there not to make life more difficult or to give you more work, but so that you can think through it and pray through it and work with God and with your friends and your accountability partners. You know, I have a couple of groups that I do this with, and it's just amazing to see over the weeks how people have started to open up, you know, how we are starting to use grace with each other. And we're going to talk about grace in the next session, because we need to understand God's grace. We're going to need to understand how do we forgive and how do we walk in that place. So task number 7, there are 3 things. The first one is to make a list of unresolved issues of your past. Make a summary of point number 6 and 7 of your own life. And maybe this is going to take time. I remember the first time when I had to write, I thought like, oh, this is going to be a whole book. This is not just a little page, you know. But just highlight the big things that stood out for you. Maybe there were big moments in your life, really defining moments that either where you chose to go towards God or away from God, where you chose to connect into family or away, because we sometimes have these defining moments. And I remember one of those moments in my own relationship with God was when I stood on the tennis court and I lost one of the things, and I really prayed about it before the time, and then I walked off that tennis court and I still pointed my finger at God and said, where are you? Why have you always, I have to fight on my own. I have to like, and I was a real anger outburst towards God, you know. And later I really had to repent, because and I had to ask for forgiveness, and I had to release God from a false expectation that I had on him, because I just vented all of my anger that and my hurt, I vented it towards God. And God has always been there. He's a loving Father, and that's why through Jesus we could see the complete freedom and his love towards us. So God can identify with your pain and your hurt, because Jesus went through much worse than what you and I went through. The second thing is to pray and trust the Lord to forgive those who have hurt you. Start in this forgiveness process. Start to just put their names down and just say, Lord, I want to release them. Help me to start. And the next session, we're going to look at how do we do that practically. And then the third thing is share your feelings with somebody that you trust. Accountability partner. Hopefully you've been connecting in a group together with other people. be open. You know, one of the things I said to two of the groups that I'm involved with, that I'm walking this whole series with, I said, look, yeah, in the next week, just without anybody answering or preaching at each other, just post on the group. If you're really feeling down and bad, just post on the group what you're feeling. And it's just amazing how honest people are. It's amazing how people start to be vulnerable and open with each other. And I want to end with the last small testimony. But in 2019, we went on a mission trip to Indonesia. And I was just amazed because there was a lot of guys going on the trip, mostly guys. And there's lots of egos flying around. And around about the fifth day on the mission trip, I just asked everyone, hey, just share what you're struggling with. And then everyone started to share the most deepest stuff, because outside of your comfort zone, that's when you like really feel vulnerable. And people said, well, I feel intimidated by this one. I feel intimidated by that one. I feel inferior spiritually. I'm trying to pretend. And God just broke that damn wall, just broke open, you know, lots of emotions, lots of crying, lots of stuff. And from that moment on, God just started to work in our team, because for the first time, there was a place where people realized, like, hey, we're just normal people that need God, you know. And there's a specific article I'm going to give you to read. But so let's go for it. Let's pray through these things. Let's share with each other. Be open, be vulnerable. Be real with one another and realize, bring it to God. But start with God. Start with the Lord to be real with Him. So I want to pray for us for this vulnerability, this realness, to be authentic. So Father, I thank you, Lord, as we're sharing these things with one another, that you come and heal us. Be the balm of Gilead that heals us from the inside out. Lord, we really trust you, but we struggle because of culture, vulnerability issues, honesty issues, Lord, control issues. We struggle to open up. But Lord, we know that you've declared the year of Jubilee. You've come to set the captives free. So come and heal us. Come and restore us as we embark, Lord, to let go of our past, to look to you. We look to you alone. And Father, we pray for grace and confidence to also share this, and vulnerability to share it with our friends. Holy Spirit, we don't want to do this alone.